Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the off-menu podcast, the spiciest podcast on the market. High on the Scoville scale, leave the seeds in, they're the best bit. Hello, James Acaster.
Ed Gamble, for a second there, I was like, oh man, he's really not even trying. And then the Scoville level came in and the seeds, and I was like, I should never doubt this guy.
Look, it's harder and harder. Doing. It's harder and harder to come up with intros, man.
Absolutely.
And you know what? Shout out to the person who compiled a YouTube video of every intro I've done.
Really?
Couldn't bring myself to listen back to it because I know some of them were below par.
I'll have a little listen. I've never heard this podcast before.
You'll love it.
What a treat.
Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast. James Acaster, tell everyone what it's about.
We're going to invite a guest into the Dream Restaurant, and we're going to ask them what their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink are.
Yes, indeedy.
And this week's guest is...
Arabella Weir, brilliant comedian, actor, writer. You may recognise her from The Farce Show.
She's one of my heroes.
She did a food show called Posh Nosh as well.
Yep.
And she's currently touring a show, which is like a stand-up autobiographical show called Does My Mum Loom Big In This?
Fantastic name. We're big fans.
So we're very much looking forward to meeting Arabella. Unfortunately. If Arabella says a secret ingredient that we have predetermined, she will be kicked out of the restaurant, which is a shame, but rules is rules. And James, what's the secret ingredient this week?
Seeded grapes.
I hate a seeded
grape. What is the point? Grapes are too small to have seeds in them. It means that too high a percentage of that bite is a seed.
Yeah, and when it's a surprise seeded grape, that's the worst. When you bought a bag of grapes and you haven't seen that they're seeded, because seeded is a very similar word to seedless.
Yeah.
So your brain might fill in the gaps and you might think you bought seedless. You crunch down on a big old grape. Hello, there's a little tooth in there.
Straight away. Why are they even in there? We can do seedless grapes. We all like seedless grapes. No, who's going out of their way to buy seeded grapes?
It's crazy. And I don't know how they get the seeds out of grapes. I'd imagine there's some little lad at the factory sucking them out or something.
Yeah, sure. Little boy sucking down all the seeds. Then he grows a big old grape plant in his belly. And then it grows out of him. And then it all goes out of his eye sockets and his ears. And he dies. And then there's going to be a new boy come in and suck all the seeds out of the new grapes.
So hopefully Arabella doesn't say seeded grapes.
Hopefully.
Fingers crossed she doesn't.
Please.
Very excited to meet her. So this, without further ado, is the off-menu menu of...
Arabella Weir.
Welcome, Arabella Weir, to the Dream Restaurant.
I like the Dream Restaurant. Yeah, okay, hello.
Welcome, Arabella Weir, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time. I'm a genie.
Right.
I'm a genie and a waiter.
It's rare.
Genie and a waiter.
It's rare for a genie to appear from a lamp and then immediately have to say, I'm a genie.
Yeah, right, because if you did appear from a lamp, I kind of know.
Yeah, but, you know, you were kind of distracted by Ed when I came out the lamp, so I thought you might see me come out of the lamp.
Well, Ed's the maitre d'.
Yeah.
Are you the waiter?
And James is the waiter, yeah.
Who's the sommelier? That's my main focus
the
of interest.
The great Benito. Right.
We all muck in as well. We're all the general manager.
Oh, okay.
Wash the dishes.
DJ, but, I'm a DJ.
James is a DJ.
DJ, very good.
What music would you like on in the Dream Restaurant?
I don't really like eating to music, too distracting.
Okay.
I love music, but I don't really want to hear it when I'm eating. It makes me think I'm either in a lift or in a porn movie. So,
those are the only two places you ever hear music?
Not the only place, but that's background music. Is always, you know, it's always supplied for those things, isn't it? A lift and a porn film.
Yeah, my Spotify is just soundtracks to porn films.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
What kind of music there is it?
No, it's lift music.
Yeah, there is lift music.
No, lift music is porn music.
Oh, right, okay.
That's where it retires to.
That's why
because the first ever porn was in a lift.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know that. Is that true?
Is that why so much sex happens in lifts?
Does it?
I'm not sure that's true either.
All the lifts I've been in.
You're not having the sex, you're just observing.
No, I'm always not again.
Oh, no, please, do you mind?
Yeah.
Asking them what floor they want to go to.
That's disgusting. Straight off the bat, apologies. You brought up
I'm
porn.
It was me. I'm afraid. Yeah, I'm sorry, I brought up porn, but I won't be bringing it up again, I can assure you.
No problem. Big fan of food?
Big fan of food.
Yeah?
Big fan of food.
Yeah?
Not entirely easy relationship with food, but a big fan of food.
Not an easy relationship with it?
No, I was brought up by Scots, and for all the Scots that are listening, I don't want to suggest that all Scots are like this, but there was, in my house, it was very much Scottish Presbyterian, punishing puritanical relationship with food, and that enjoyment of food could only be a slippery slope to gluttony.
Right.
So hunger is greed. Enjoyment of food is quite obviously gluttony.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, please welcome to the stage porridge.
Yeah.
You know, food is fuel. You only need fuel to eat. You only need food to fuel the body, and that's the amount. You're not supposed to be enjoying it, or, you know. So my parents made porridge with salt and water.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And I mean, if ever there was, you know, gruel, that's it. They were terrified, particularly as I was never skinny. They were terrified that if I liked something, then I'd obviously eat 2 tons of it.
Uh-huh.
So the whole kind of, I was literally brought up with, you can't eat because you're fat and you will get fatter if you enjoy it. So you will eat the absolute basic to stay alive and that's it.
And that was just...
That was it. And it was actually, I was just talking about this morning with a friend. It was actually when I was 12 and I went to I was at school with a girl who was Jewish and she had other Jewish friends. And it was their house where not only I was invited to eat at the table with the adults, which was brand new to me, but I was expected to enjoy the food. And if I liked it, I could have more.
Right.
That was the first time I thought, what's going on here? I'm not supposed to be at the table. No one wants to hear what I think. No one wants to hear what kids think.
Mm.
I mean, it sounds like I was brought up by Victorians, and in many ways it was a sort of Victorian upbringing. But so it was a Jewish family that the first time I sort of became aware that you could enjoy food and that big plentiful amounts of it and that you were entitled to it.
Right.
Yeah, so the entitlement to food, and that's something I've tried to do with my kids, but I'm not a very good cook, so I'm not sure I've done very well with that. But
when you had that meal with your friends and then went back home, is that something that you tried to bring back to your life at home?
Yeah. That's what you're doing when you're 12, isn't it? It was fight or flight with my mum. My parents were divorced by this time and my mum was... you know, Round the Bend. That's the show I'm doing at the moment. It's not called My Mum is Round the Bend, although that would have been another one.
It's called Does My Mum Loom Big in This?
Well done, you, Ed.
Excellent title.
Thank you. Do you see what I've done there?
Yeah, you did it really well. Yes. And I've made it really obvious what you did. But I think it's an excellent... I think I've discussed it with about 5 different comedians how much we like that title.
Good. Thank
very,
you.
Very, very good.
I'm one of those comedians who discuss it with
me. Yeah.
Oh, so that doesn't really count because you're here. So 4, I want 5 4. Independent comedians. by the time I ate at these people's houses and then went home, no, all I thought was I've got to be at their house all the time.
Right, okay.
Because there was no food.
There was
at
no
my
chance
house.
That you were going to say to your mum, well, maybe we could try this.
That implies that my mother was receptive.
Right, okay.
My mother was never in the wrong. My mother was a bloke, really. She was never in the wrong. She was unbelievably entitled, incredibly grand, and didn't think that anything to do with domesticity had anything to do with her.
Right.
But we didn't have servants. So it's not like she went, ask the cook, you know, which would have been fine. There was just nothing in the fridge because my brothers were at boarding school. And I was at home alone with my mum and my much, much younger sister, who was very, very thin. And she also found a family that kind of fed her. So, yeah, like I think
cats.
My mum...
Yeah, it's like cats.
like cats, yes. Yeah. My mum just... She didn't... She was incredibly intelligent and well-educated and privileged and stuff, but she just didn't think that anything to do with domesticity had anything to do with her. So I remember when I was about 8 saying, I'm hungry, and she went, good, it's good for you. And me thinking, I can't work out, because it was before I knew about if you eat less, you'll get thinner.
Right.
So I just remember thinking, how can this feeling be any good for me?
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a lot of terror that... Well, and also that's very Presbyterian, isn't it? And I don't think it's uniquely Presbyterian. The any sort of abstinence means you're a better person.
Brings you closer to God as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, neither of my parents were religious, but they'd been brought up in the Church of Scotland. So the whole association with all sorts of abstinence is godly, is pure, you know, not enjoying yourself, not wearing a cashmere sweater, wearing a horrible sweater, shirt of hair.
Yeah.
That's what porridge is. It's the food equivalent of a shirt of hair.
And just the idea that if you're enjoying anything, then it's bad.
Like, yeah.
You should...
I mean, look, if you enjoy that donut, the next thing will be giving someone a blowjob and liking it, which that obviously
cue
never
the
happens.
Music. music starts up immediately.
Get in that lift.
But, you know, it's all going to be a slippery slope to indulgence. It's not going to be hard work. Yeah. It's not going to be a shoulder to the wheel. It's going to be just sitting around going, I think I'm great, and I might just have another bun. Yeah. You know, you're not doing any work, not sort of that. And that's very British as well, the idea that you must constantly be striving to do better than Gamble or Acaster, you know, that you mustn't, they mustn't get ahead of you. I mean, what about you doing okay and me doing okay?
Yeah.
No, that's not good enough. Everyone's got to be sort of, you know, competing with each other all the time.
I also really like your mum's comeback when you say, I'm hungry. She goes, good.
It's good for you.
That's an amazing comeback to anything.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm terrified. Good stuff. Excellent. See you later.
It's good for you.
Well, that'll make you a man.
Yeah,
commas, won't it? That's the idea, that you wouldn't be wet.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be wet and needy and hungry and in any way vulnerable.
Talking of wetness, still sparkling water.
Oh, I'm sparkling every time.
Yeah?
Every time.
Every time.
Sparkling every time, like, in a restaurant, and what about day to day?
Well, interesting that, because you may know a show that I co-wrote with John Cantor called Posh Nosh, and we came up with a water called Starkling. So if you didn't want still and you didn't want sparkling, you got Starkling.
Lovely.
But in daytime, I would go walking about the street, I'll go still. Restaurant sparkling every time.
Yeah.
Because it's like a party in a glass, isn't
it? It is a party in a glass.
Also, is it a little bit of a part of you, like a rebellion against your childhood, against your mother, against stuff that you might have in the house? I can't imagine sparkling water being looked upon favourably in your household.
Well, I don't think there would have been any bottled water. This is the 60s and 70s. There's going to be no namby-pamby nonsense like bottled water. You'll just have it out the tap.
Yeah.
No, but I can't. I mean, the idea of water, that was available because that was in a tap, but there wasn't anything else available. But we didn't obsess about drinking water.
Can you make
as much
porridge with sparkling water?
I expect you could, but it wouldn't be as nice as with cold water and salt, would it?
No, that's true. Sporridge?
Sporridge.
Sporridge. You don't want to be enjoying yourself, though, do you? That's
the main thing. You've got to calm down with
sparkling water with porridge makes it sound like you might be having too much of a good time.
It's a bit of a laugh.
You don't want to be doing that.
Do you ever have porridge now as an adult? Or do you go, forget it, never again?
When people, you know, it's all made a sort of comeback and it's trendy and it's in pots and you're happy with this. And I'm thinking, are you mad? That is revolting. To me, it will always be like gruel.
Yeah.
People go, oh, I always have my porridge with my ekai berries or whatever. I'm thinking, no. Porridge is revolting. Porridge is cement to me.
Yeah. It's what they're putting on top of it, though. That's the trendy thing. It's going like, I want almond butter and blueberries and all of that. And it's like, well, I'll just get those things. And
yeah, why don't you just get those things and cut out the porridge? Yeah. I think the porridge is what makes you... I mean, I gather porridge is incredibly good for you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, no, not for me, thanks.
Slow energy release and stuff
And all that. I ain't having that. It will always be salt and water to me and revolting.
I mean, you probably had enough as a child that if it is slow energy release, you're still benefiting it. Like now, you're still reaping the rewards,
I'm
right?
I'm still. I haven't eaten since I was a child, actually, and I'm just it's just the porridge and the salt. Yeah, haven't eaten since I was 9.
Are you a porridge fan, Ed? You seem like you maybe are a bit of a porridge boy, and then maybe you've...
No, I've never really had it growing up.
Oh, okay. I'm not. I thought Ed was being a little bit quiet during that conversation. Like, maybe he's a big porridge fan and doesn't want to be bullied by you.
I think it's very bland, and it's warming sometimes. It can be warming on a winter's morning, but it's the stuff you put on top of it. That's what I like. I'm not bothered about porridge. As with most things. Yeah.
What are you having for breakfast these days?
I am having, almost without fail, natural yogurt.
Yes.
With frozen, obviously defrosted, blueberries and a little bit of muesli mixed in. Mm, almost without fail. But on a real sort of fun day, I'll have a pain au raisin.
Oh, yeah?
I like a pain au raisin.
Is that a Saturday?
No, that's a day when someone else buys it, because if I buy it, it's fattening. But if I don't buy it, it's got no calories in it.
Sure.
So if somebody says, I'm coming around, do you want a pastry? I go, yes, bring me a pain au raisin. And then it's calorie free if you didn't pay for it. That is a well-known trope.
What if they bring it over and you're halfway through eating it and they ask for the money for it?
I'll just say, don't be ridiculous. I've just made you coffee.
Right. Okay,
and you're in my house. Who are you? No, and also my friends don't do that. For goodness sake, we're past that.
Can you list the last five people who bought you a pan au raisin, please?
Catherine Fahler.
Yeah.
Becky Jacobs.
Yeah.
Paul Whitehouse.
Whitehouse got his... I dipped in his pocket, got a pack.
And I can't remember the two before then.
I love that Whitehouse is buying your pad of raisins.
Why?
Because I grew up watching...
He's got money.
Grew up watching The Fast Show. Absolutely love it. I like to think that you're all still friends buying each other pastries.
None of us apart from Paul need pastries. We're all past the needing a pastry phase, but we all still eat them. But yeah, we're all still friends.
That's good. How many of the Far Show cast have bought you a pan au raisin over the years?
Over the years, probably just Paul. Charlie Hickson is a very good cook.
Right.
And he's made me many meals, but that has not included pastry.
I bet Simon Day's never bought you a pan au raisin.
Neither's John Thompson. What about that, eh? Neither of them have ever bought me a pastry.
Thompson, I was on the fence, but I didn't know if he would have or not. Simon Day,
no way.
Simon Day actually is quite a foodie.
Yeah.
He really is a foodie, but he has not bought me a pastry, and maybe he'll rectify this.
I imagine Williams would have bought you a pastry, a pan au raisin.
No, he's also a real foodie, really, really good at cooking, but no, never bought
he's
me
never
nothing.
Never bought you a pan au raisin.
Bought me a very nice bottle of wine.
Okay.
Where we argued about the pronunciation. Now, I'm going to spell it because I'd like to know what you two
think. Okay, right.
Montrachet. And it's usually also after that hyphen, Pulingy.
Montrachet.
I'd say Montrachet as well.
Absolutely on the money. We had an absolutely fight to the death because Williams was absolutely convinced it was Montrachet. No, it's not.
What?
Because of Montparnasse. Montparnasse.
Yeah.
So look, I mean, you know, sometimes when you're trilingual, it helps. But Montrachet is Montrachet. But Montparnasse, which also has a T, M-O-N-T, is Montparnasse. So that was this was the sort of thing we used to row about on The Far Show.
Yeah.
Was
that the famous week when he said, this week I've been mostly drinking
Montrachet.
He never said that.
Montrachet.
Montrachet, yeah. But it's not Montrachet.
Wow. Ah, oh, I love Far Show Goss.
I know we sound so rock and roll, don't we?
That's what I'm here for.
There we
are. Pop-a-dums or bread?
Say that again.
Pop-a-dums or bread?
Oh, bread. Bread. Pop-a-dums are crisps. I mean, you know, come on, if you want a crisp, that's what you have with your aperitif. No problem.
Yeah.
I will not argue with that.
Uh-huh.
If you want a pop-a-dum crisp, be my guest. Don't try and bring a pop-a-dum to the table. Unless you're having an Indian meal. But no, it's bread every time.
Yeah.
Then you get to eat butter.
Yeah, you do get to eat butter.
And that's how...
It's all about the butter.
Bread's basically a vessel for butter.
Yeah,
and that's what it is. Now, I mean, who wants bread? You want the butter, don't you? Or the olive oil.
Yeah.
But no, it would be bread and butter every time.
Any particular type of bread?
If I was in an Italian restaurant, I'd want a nice squidgy focaccia with a nice oily crusty top with lots of salt and the rosemary. If I'm in a, you know, English, British, whatever you want to call it, restaurant, then it would be a nice sort of brown, seedy bread with really nice salted butter.
How thick your spread in the butter?
Oh, thick.
Yeah.
I mean, I might even, just to show my mother, make the butter thicker than the bread.
Yeah.
How are you liking that, Mum?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Could, yeah, really stick it to her.
Because, yeah, and because eating for me is still revenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
What fun is anything in life if it's not revenge?
Yeah, if you're not giving it two fingers to someone, then why on earth are you doing it? Because everything's going to be about anger.
Creamy. Yeah, yeah.
Redirecting your anger.
Is there a particular type of butter that you always go to that you buy?
Président, you won't get, yeah, you don't mind the président, the French posh butter, but any posh butter that's super salty.
Yeah,
the chunks of salt are the best when there's like proper chunks.
Heart attack in a plate.
Yeah. He's a chunker.
You like a chunker. I love a chunker. You like a nice big salty.
Like
we
a
get
big,
salt
salty
hit.
Chunk. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Where you think, oh, it's not too salty. Bam. Yeah.
Bam. Hello. Yeah. It was hiding. Yeah. It was hiding.
There
in
it
there.
Is. Boom. I've got the salt. Yes, that could be something else, but yeah.
Could be what?
It also happens like that when you're doing something else, but we're not talking about that.
It might happen after a donut if you're not careful.
Oh
yeah.
I will be careful in the future. I like donuts. Your starter?
My starter would probably be a salad of endives or endives.
Was that an argument you had at the far show?
Yeah.
No, we didn't do...
William's lost that one as
I
well.
I love that. Chicory over endives. It would be chicory, roquefort, walnuts with a nice sort of dressing.
Oh,
like
yeah?
Like a salad like that.
This doesn't seem like you're getting revenge on anyone, Arabella.
Roquefort's got huge amounts of calories.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and roquefort.
Fuck you, Mum.
Yeah. How you feeling now, Mum? Yeah. You like that?
Yeah.
I'm going to have the cheese, and I'll have a cheese after the pudding. Watch me.
After the pudding, yeah.
After the pudding, because I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. I'll be fine with it after the pudding. I can handle that.
But I would always go something, anything with lobster in it as well. So I could go a lobster mousse or a lobster bisque.
Right, yeah, big lobster fan.
I like a fish. I like a crustacean.
When did you get into... Because I think lobster, that's not a... You're not
endangered species, no.
No, that's not endangered species.
A good roquefort.
Oh,
love
please.
It.
I mean, you cannot beat any form of stinky cheese.
Mm.
A cheese that makes you slightly cry and that makes your tongue... That is like... Ooh. Have you ever had a hot baby mince pie with a bit of really old Stilton inside it?
No.
Oh my God, that is literally, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. You've got to get a Stilton that's nearly on the turn. You know when a Stilton starts to weep?
Well, Stilton's all on the turn all the time, right?
Yeah, but yes, I know, but that's the whole point of blue cheese, isn't it? But Stilton starts to weep.
Yes.
Right.
While my Stilton gently weeps.
Yes. It's quite good. You could open with that.
Yeah.
So you get a tiny baby, really high quality mince pie, take the top off. Get it either in the microwave or your agar, depending on who you are. And then put a little bit of Stilton in it so that it slightly melts.
Oh.
I mean, literally, that is literally better than sex.
Yeah?
I mean, it's so unbelievably
good. Do you
put
on music when you eat that?
No, I don't. I can't. I told you, I can't eat and do music at the same time.
No. So you've got I mean, it seems a shame that this isn't your starter.
I don't want a pastry starter.
Better than sex, though. It's not on your menu.
Yeah, but I'm old, so sex isn't that interesting to me anymore. So.
Don't like it.
It's not like, fantastic sex or a mince pie. No, let's just go for the mince pie.
A lot of foods are above sex now, right?
Yeah, and the older you get,
it basically
food
goes
gets
porridge,
higher up
sex
the thing.
And everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The older you get, they sort of swap places. You know, sex is everything when you're your ages, and then you sort of think about
sex.
It all the time.
Oh, yeah. I do another podcast all about people's favourite sex menu.
Yeah.
Do you?
No.
Yeah. That would be a good one, though. It'd be interesting if you see if you can get anybody on it.
Yeah.
Boff menu, it's called.
What would you like on your sex menu? Boff?
Boff.
Boff.
Oh, Boff.
Yeah.
You've got a podcast right there. There just be interesting to see who you get
menu.
On it. Yeah,
it's actually just called Boff Men.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's good.
Boff
Men. Might quite boutique, that podcast. Yes. But you might get a lot of listeners.
Food has overtaken sex for you?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like I used to have as much sex as I did eat, and that probably is true, yeah.
Congrats.
I probably used to have more sex than I ate.
That's cool.
And then you sort of swap a bit, because A, you're not that interested as much, and also your opportunities diminish the older you get.
Sure.
Like it or not. And whereas you can eat where you like. I mean, you can go to a restaurant and eat what you like, can't you? If you can afford it. Whereas you can't go to a boy restaurant, in my case, and eat what you like, necessarily.
No.
Especially if they have free will.
You should stop calling places boy restaurants, though.
Well, I mean, you know, the idea being that
going, I've arrived in the boy restaurant.
Well, that's the sort of, you know, if there's a sort of smorgasbord of boys, which is, you know, I'll have one of that, a little bit of that. Not too much of that, please. Just a suggestion of that. A taste of that. I've only thought of this now, but that is basically what happens. Whereas you know, you have more opportunities the older and richer you get.
Yeah.
In many ways, but fewer choices in the love. Well, let's not talk about love in the sex department.
Yeah, you're not in love with all these boys at the boy restaurant.
No, in fact, you mustn't be in love with them.
No, you can't. No,
that's one of the rules of the boy restaurant. It's a pick and mix.
Yeah,
and you don't want to invest too much.
Sure,
it's a grab bag.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mom's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day. And even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos. So it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Before we started this, you said you were still very torn about your main. This has been the toughest course for you. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, definitely the toughest course because I like a lot of food, but I don't think I like a wide variety of, you know, countries' cuisines. But I would say not much comes close to a pork belly with celeriac mash, and you know, a really, really well done pork belly.
Yeah.
But yeah, otherwise it would be lamb tagine.
So those are the ones you've been torn
between. That's what I'm talking about. But I'm gonna, you know, if you've got a gun to my head, it's all over.
Yes.
Never gonna have sex again. It's the pork belly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I'm going. I'm going pork belly.
If someone does have a gun to your head,
that's not part of the podcast, by the way.
Yeah.
Which isn't part of the podcast. Yeah. We don't ever do put guns to people's heads.
Oh, it's a shame.
But do you want them to specify if you're going to have sex again? Is that part of it?
I obviously have free will / choice. But do I want someone to specify? No, I don't care.
No, you don't care. No, but in your head, it's like never having sex again. Probably. So now I've got to have the pork belly.
Yeah, I'm just having the pork belly.
Yeah.
I'm going to have the pork. And yeah.
Is pork belly something that, because I remember when it came in.
Yeah, I know, because it used to be like a, you know.
Yeah.
Don't but know what it was, like, but it was not. It's not is like quite a new thing, isn't it?
Pigs didn't have bellies until that point.
They were
no, but I think it became like a lot of food. It became, and I can remember the restaurant that brought it back, slightly sort of school dinner-y things, weren't regarded as fine dining. And then they came back and suddenly you were getting shepherd's pie in really posh, expensive places. And you go, wait a minute, that's just my school dinner.
Yeah.
It's 27 quid. and often no better than your school dinner. But yeah, pork bellies, all those, because I think everyone was terrified that pork was fattening and would kill you and everything, and then they suddenly realised it wasn't too bad. But I dare say a pork belly is not something you should have if you've got a heart condition every day of your life.
No, but that's a kind of classic thing of kind of people going, oh, I'm worried this is quite bad for us. Oh, it's actually not bad for us. Great, let's eat the belly then. Let's get the fattiest bit.
The fattiest,
that means we can
bit.
Have more of it.
Yeah, yeah. You know heroin's bad for you. Yeah, well, why not just have heroin from the street then instead, you know, and inject it with a dirty needle if I'm allowed everything.
Yeah, yeah, have it all.
Yes, the pork belly is probably not great for you.
It's such a treat, good. Though, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, so man, with some apple sauce that's really well made. Oh, my God.
But it lends itself to so many different types of cuisine as well. So you can have, like, amazing, like, British-style pork belly with
that's
crackling. And,
I like the crackling.
And then, like, Chinese pork belly is completely different as well.
No, I don't like Chinese
no,
pork belly.
No Chinese pork belly? No,
I don't like that, no.
No.
That's a Portuguese woman answering that.
Right, okay.
Just to be very clear here that yes. I am not doing a racial accent.
No, well, you
I
are,
was singing,
but it's not what they thought.
Yeah, but it's not the Chinese name.
Yeah, yeah, just to
I
be
was
clear.
Trying to sing Vossibop the other day and my kids went, you cannot do his accent. And I went, I absolutely can do Stormzy's accent. And they went, no, but it's racially offensive. And I was going, no, it's just amusing.
And then you carried on.
Yeah, and then I carried on, but that's one of the ways I embarrass my children.
Yeah. Well, don't worry, we're going to broadcast it now.
Yeah, but I didn't actually sing it.
No, you didn't.
My brothers don't dab, they just vossy bop.
There we go. Absolutely got you. Straight after the sentence, I didn't sing it.
We've not
I
edited
didn't
that
sing
in
it.
Any way.
I don't know, you're doing a little dance now?
Doing the because in my show, there's a whole sequence about how kind of incredibly dysfunctionally I was brought up, and then about I sort of make a joke about what a perfect mother I am, and then I say, but if I want to embarrass my kids, this is what I do, and then I do a whole dance. I do the dance and I sing Kiki In My Feelings by Drake.
Yeah, great.
You know, Kiki, do you love me?
Yeah.
And I do the whole dance. I do the actual dance from the video.
Great.
And my daughter said, everybody in the audience will hate you.
Yeah.
And I went, no, you hate me for doing that, but they won't. And my son went, thing is, you're quite good at it. Boom.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sun's I am quite good at dancing.
Yeah.
My big dream is to now finally meet Drake and get me to be in the video.
That's not. I mean.
I mean, that's not impossible.
Yeah.
Someone was telling me they saw Drake at the O2 and he had a big, like inflatable globe on stage that would get bigger and bigger, and it ended up being so big it pushed him off the stage.
It never.
Yeah.
I don't believe Drake was pushed off the stage.
That's what it said. It getting bigger and bigger, and Drake couldn't fit on the stage anymore.
I don't think that's true. Yeah, I think we'd have heard like about it if Drake had fallen off the stage.
They told me it was
you know,
true.
That. Yeah. Anyway.
Tell me that's what happened. There's no room for him.
So pork belly with celeriac mash and apple sauce.
Yep.
Delicious.
And I'm
super crispy crackling on
top. Oh, super crispy. Like break your teeth crispy.
Mm,
that's what I like, yeah. You want to like, if you're, you know, it's like anything. If you're going over the edge, you want everything to be the most it could possibly be.
Yeah, yeah.
So I sound like a Roman emperor, don't I? So like you want it to be so oily and salty and so sort
you take
of fried.
One bite into
yeah,
it and
like
it just
you practically want it to break your teeth.
All the fat just spurts
just,
into
it's
your
beautiful.
Mouth.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's no, I'm not so keen on the fat spurting into my mouth.
Well, there's a it is that's
yeah,
what
but you want no, you want the kind of you know, like to sort of suck it.
Yeah. I don't like the hot fat.
Who likes hot fat?
Just suddenly ugh, just scorching the inside of my mouth.
Yeah, yeah, that's not too lovely, is it? But but you do want to be able to taste. I mean, what is lovely about cooking is, I mean, not cooking is eating is oil and salt, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the main thing.
And then sugar.
Yes.
But that's pretty much it.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Do you like, how do you feel when you get the crackling sometimes and there's a little bit of hair coming out of it?
I'm not that bothered by it.
Mm.
I mean, because it is from a pig.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not going, oh, can you bring it with extra hair?
Sure.
But, I mean, I don't like hair anyway. I'm not a hair person. I don't really like hairy things.
Go on.
So, I just don't like, I don't like hair. I mean, I don't mean the whole kind of porn thing, you know, if everyone's got to be waxed into oblivion. But I just, sure. I don't, I mean, I'm not loving the single hair or even 10 hairs on a pork belly.
But it doesn't bother you?
I don't think I'd eat that.
How many hairs before you stop, don't eat it? There's one hair on there, imagine
There's
that.
There's one hair.
How are you feeling about that?
I would pluck that hair. I'd take that hair off before I ate it. If there's more than that, I'm going, really sorry to be an arse, but could you bring me a bit of pork belly without
So literally
hair?
There's two hairs. You're
there's two hairs.
Back.
There's two hairs at a bus stop. One says, I mean, obviously if they're like tiny, but you know, if they're kind of hair.
Yeah, yeah.
I pulled a hair out of my mouth this morning from my that was definitely in my muesli and definitely not mine.
Right.
So I did have to think about it. So I thought, so that's definitely from the factory.
Yeah.
From somebody who was not wearing their hair net particularly well. And I thought, right, what do I do now? And I thought, ah, fuck it. You know.
Just.
I mean, it was a long hair.
Yeah. A long hair.
And how long did it take to pull out your mouth?
I mean, you know, 3.5 hours. No. It was wound around my stomach.
Yeah.
No, I just sort of thought, I mean, you know, but I'm not particularly squeamish.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's a, what are you going to...
I mean, I have eaten my son's poo by accident, so...
What?
He was very, very little, and he couldn't speak, but he was a toddler, and he was wearing a nappy, and I had a whole bunch of mates around, and they all had kids the same age, and I gave the kids...
Can I say, at this point in the story, yeah. I can't see how this, how this ends up with you eating shit.
I'm about to tell you.
Yes,
so
but
I give
like,
them a,
I can't even
I give
imagine
them,
the setup.
I give them a plate of ginger biscuits, and my little boy, as I say, can't speak, but he can walk. He comes running towards me with, you probably, I don't know if either of you have had children, but they've got those adorable little squishy hands that are like uncooked dough. And the biscuit is mashed into his hand, and he's going, ah! And I'm, you know, trying to be a perfect mother, because every minute of every day I'm trying not to be my mother. So I don't say anything. I go, oh, darling, it's all right. Mummy will get rid of the biscuit for you. And I look around, no wipes. And so I put it in my mouth. And it's not his biscuit, it's his shit. Because he's been sitting in his pooey nappy for so long, he can't tell me it needs changing.
Yeah.
So he's dug the poo out the back and he's brought it to show me. Show and tell.
And now that is seared into his memory now, the time he pulled his own shit out of his out
It's
of
not
his, nappy
his memory,
in his hand.
He's got no problem, went into my mouth, not his.
Yeah, but now he's just he's gone, I need to show my mum that my nappy needs changing, and she ate the shit.
I didn't go, I will eat it instead of change your nappy. I thought it was his biscuit. That's why I told you it was ginger biscuits. Yes, no, I do. Because
straight
now,
in the mouth?
Yeah, straight
what,
in the mouth. And then, yeah, what
did
it taste
like?
Guess what it tastes like? Shit.
Yeah.
Were
you... How did you...
how did I react? I went... And, you know, tried to sort of claw it out of my mouth.
Yeah.
But, you know,
oh,
but
God.
Also you two are too young. Well, I mean, I don't know about your lives, but as
too
you get older, you... as you
the
get older, you know, I've had very close friends die and I didn't eat their shit, but you end up, you know, dealing with a lot of shit and vomit and stuff and you just sort of have to get on with it. It's just life. And it was my little boy. I mean, what was going to be in it? It wasn't going to be sort of, you know, street...
You knew everything you'd put into him, so...
I knew everything that got into his mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean,
you knew the provenance of the shit.
I mean, I wasn't going, oh, I wasn't a hippie. I never ate his placenta or anything. I just sort of thought, I mean, it was absolutely disgusting, but I did sort of think, I'll get over this. I've eaten
In the moment, I would think, I'm never going to get over this.
It wasn't a super experience, but it has provided quite a bit of comedy.
So, yes.
So. Yeah, yeah, you must have been quite grateful about
and
what
also
your
when
job
I am,
was.
When I'm making it clear to my son that I have literally done everything for him, I've been a single parent for 11 years and I've literally done everything for him. I do sometimes say, I ate your shit.
I ate your shit.
I wouldn't be ordering that again, that's for sure.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
So
you don't want that on the menu?
This is not your side dish.
This is not my side dish. I absolutely love creamed spinach.
Yeah.
But again, I sometimes feel a bit guilty eating it because you think, who needs the cream?
Sure.
On top of everything.
The spinach needs
so
the cream.
Yeah, I know it does. So I'd probably have the spinach, creamed spinach, and broccoli with toasted almonds.
Yeah.
Long stem broccoli.
Yeah.
Long stem broccoli, yeah, because I'm posh, so.
Let's have the long stem.
Yeah, let's have the expensive stuff.
And we always ask this question if someone asks for long stem broccoli, how long do you want your stems?
Yes.
Goodness, long enough to sit in an oval plate, if you don't mind.
Yeah, great. Okay.
To be at home in a small oval side dish,
but not hanging over.
No
the
hanging.
Edge.
No hanging. They bring it hanging, and that's it. It's getting sent back. No hanging. Yeah. I do not want anything dehors the plate.
Okay.
Nothing exterior to the plate. Nothing, that thing they do with lobster. Okay, I don't want it off the plate. Why would I want it off the plate?
When it drapes.
On the plate, please.
All on the plate.
Everything on the plate. Make the plate as big as you like, but it's all got to be on the plate.
You don't want it to look like the lobster was trying to escape as they brought it.
Which you all know it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor little guy. The second time you mentioned sending food back now. Are you a food send backer?
One of the things that I am most pleased about in terms of myself and what I've achieved, mainly, I have to say, through therapy, was an appropriate sense of entitlement. So I am never rude to waiters. I am never rude. I'm never rude to anybody. But if I'm in a restaurant, doesn't matter if it's £3 or 27 quid, you just go, sorry, this isn't hot. Or this isn't what I asked for. I'm never rude. I don't throw my weight around or go, listen here, none of that. Just go, sorry, we're having a transaction here. I'm paying for this. And, you know, this isn't why I ordered, or it's not warm enough. So I'm very pleased about that, because I don't do a kind of, look, I'm so sorry. Or listen, I don't mean to bother you. It's just all that rubbish. Just go, and any decent waiter or waitress just goes, fair enough.
Yeah.
They don't go, I was very pleased with myself. I was in a queue. I can speak Italian. And I was in a queue in a very posh bread shop in Italy. Well, it was an ordinary, it was like Italy is, you know, fantastically nice pastry and posh bread, but also just everybody's daily bread. And I was talking to my daughter in English, and this, it was probably one of my finest moments, and this very grand, I could tell from her accent, Roman woman was behind me in the queue. And when she realized that I was speaking English, she, when the guy said, who's next, in Italian, she started to order, and I turned on her and said, you know very well that I was next, but you think because I'm English that you can get ahead of me. Now, you know I was. And I said, and if you came to London, I hope no one would behave like that to you.
Oh, yes.
And then the guy, obviously all in Italian, and the guy went, what would you like, madam? Oh, yes, come on. Years of therapy have paid off, and a little bit of Italian speaking.
Did you say that celebration in Italian as well? Yeah. Years of therapy have paid off. Yes.
No, I didn't. La terapia funzionata. No, I didn't say that. These are pathetic little victories. But it's all about...
I think that's a pretty big victory.
But yes, it was that she was assuming I couldn't speak Italian. But yeah, I mean, you know, any person I know who works with food goes, you don't want people to pretend, you don't want people to be angry, but you don't want, if it's wrong, let us know. Don't do a kind of, I went there and, you know, TripAdvisor and just, I mean, that's so kind of English, isn't it? Complaining about something afterwards.
Sure.
But not saying at the time.
And looking forward to complaining about
it.
Oh
yeah,
well.
Loving the complaining.
Sitting there going, can't wait to write.
Loving the
logging into TripAdvisor while you're there. Can't wait to write this review.
I know, well, it's, you know, everyone's got a voice now, haven't they?
Yeah, most of my heckles are over emails these days. Afterwards, I stayed and watched the whole thing and I'm livid.
Yeah.
I had a very good time, and yes, I did laugh a few times, but I really object to you using your whatever, and you just go, well, just, I don't care. What's happened with my show now, because I talk about my dysfunctional childhood in the first bit, is I've had a number of women come up to me and say, I really think you need a hug. And it's awful, because I'm thinking, yes, but not from you.
Yes, absolutely,
I don't need hugs from strangers, thank you very much. I mean, the person I need a hug from is long dead and really ought to have been my mother, but I really want a hug from you.
I mean,
thank
I think
you,
if, you,
though.
If you said that to them, that would work perfectly.
Yeah, but not from you, bitch. Not that I never used that word. Don't know why I used it. It just seemed amusing in the moment. Please forgive me. I never, ever used that word. I'd rather use cunt than bitch.
Yeah.
Non-gender specific. You see, that's my thing.
Let it be known. Well, cunt is kind of...
You can say he's a cunt, she's a cunt.
Absolutely.
No one says he's a bitch unless they're referring to someone who's camp. You have to agree.
True.
No one ever goes, oh God, that David Cameron, he's a right bitch.
Some people probably said that, actually.
But it's not... But they... You have to admit, it has kind of connotation. Right. Don't stand up for bitch.
I've said it even less than you.
Today. Today only.
The clock. Stop saying it.
Dear TripAdvisor, I went to see that James A. Caster's gig, and there was no use of the word bitch. I would like to complain.
People wanted to give me a hug after my last tour show, because it was quite personal. And I did just say... Every time they go, kind of want to give you a hug, I went, well, that'd be weird, wouldn't it? And then they go, oh, okay. And then that'd be the end of that.
This is political and with a small p, but I do think there's still so much me going, I speak with a posh voice and I'm called Arabella, and me going to a nice ordinary woman who said, I'd like to give you a hug, well, that'd be weird, wouldn't it? I think I sound like a sort of posh cow who's going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Whereas you going, oh, that'd be weird, that's funny.
Yes.
And I think that's got to do, I mean, I think that's a gender thing as well. Yeah. I think, you know, that it's funny you saying that, and I bet the person who offered you the hug sort of went, oh, he was really funny, I thought I'd give him a hug, and he went, oh, that'd be weird. That's part. Anyway, that's my sort of theory about how difficult it is to.
Whereas people come away from you, go, she's so stuck.
Oh, she's such a stuck up cow.
All I said,
I wanted to give her a hug, and she went, "Oh, that'd be weird."
I wanted to touch her.
Yeah, I just wanted to be near.
Give her a cuddle.
Yeah, and I've got breasts. You don't have breasts because it's weird being hugged by people when you've got breasts as well.
Yeah.
Well, because they're there. They're in the hug.
What about if the audience said, "I'll come and give you a hug, but from behind"?
That'd be a different show, wouldn't it? I want to give you a hug from behind.
From the side, like a koala?
Side hug? Don't know. Maybe not so good. Wouldn't be so satisfying, would it?
No, maybe not. Well, it's so really squeezed. It's all about the pressure, right? You squeeze.
Yeah, but you don't.
Is that how you hug?
If I don't want to be hugged by James. That's me from the side.
That's a sort of flat hug, isn't it?
I'll demonstrate on Benito.
No, he doesn't want to be hugged by you. Look,
he hates being touched.
That is harassment in the workplace. Can you see the enjoyment on his face?
No, he doesn't like being touched.
He doesn't want to be touched,
period. To be fair to him, he hates being touched in general. So, your dream drink?
Well, I'm having two drinks. I'm going to have a really good champagne.
Uh-huh.
And I'm then going to have a really decent, I'm going to tell you, a Pinot Noir, red Pinot Noir. I know people know that Pinot Noir is red. I do beg my pardon. I beg everyone's pardon. I found a friend of mine, a very, very old friend of mine, is a real wine connoisseur. And he gave me this tip, which I will share with your listeners. He said, look, I'm not being horrible to you, but you don't really know about wine. So don't ever spend more. He said, never spend less than 10, but never spend more than about 16. Because he said, once you get into the 25 quid, 100 quid a bottle stuff, he said, that's for connoisseurs. So anybody who's like telling you you've got to spend, he said, don't, because you will get a wine that you can appreciate within that price bracket. But he said, because you're not doing the kind of notes of berry and, you know, all that sort of thing. And I thought that was so liberating.
Right.
You know, standing in the shop thinking, oh God, if I was really nice to myself, I'd spend 40 quid on the bottle. No, not anymore. Great. 10 is my bottom, as it were. And my bottom's no longer a 10. And about sort of 18, 16. I'm not sure my bottom was ever a 10, but it was a 10 comedically, but it was never a 10, you know, in delicto flagrante. So a Pinot Noir. I would spend money on a decent champagne. Mm-hmm. There is nothing worse, I mean, that includes the war in Syria, than a cheap champagne.
Fair enough. Good luck editing around that, Benito.
When people say there is nothing worse, then you think, well, there's quite a lot worse than a cheap champagne. But yes, I'd like, I've recently discovered Moët, which, by the way, do say Moët.
Is it Moët?
Because he was Dutch.
Ah, okay.
So your connoisseurs Moët.
Is that another far show argument?
Yeah.
No, funnily enough, we didn't have too many rows about champagne. Again. We sound like such a bunch of knobs, but there was quite a lot of discussion.
Series two, that really
Series
kicked
two,
in.
Yeah. We're Once sitting around the table, you get the Montrachet Puy Non. But yes, so a Pinot Noir. Oh, and I know people are going to say you're not supposed to drink red with pork, but you're actually supposed to drink whatever you want with whatever you want.
Absolutely.
True. So, but actually, maybe I'd have a cocktail at the bar, because I do like a drink. Then a champagne, then a red wine.
What would your cocktail at the bar be?
I do like a cosmopolitan. I'm basically a sort of pathetic girl. It's like, I mean, because it's fruit juice, isn't it, with alcohol in it. So, so I like something quite sweet. I don't like all sort of dry vermouth and all that.
Right.
But a blini. I don't mind a blini.
Yeah.
I'll have a blini, or a Kir. But yeah, something with sugar in it. Basically.
Yeah, a sugary cocktail.
Sugary cocktail.
Then the...
A nice, very dry champagne.
Champagne.
And then a Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir.
Do you want to ask the man lady to come out and show you the Pinot Noir?
I'd like him to show me his Pinot Noir. Yes, I do want
him. Oh,
hello!
Normally, Arabella, we only let the guests choose one drink, but...
Fuck him.
Yeah, but it's the way you went, I'm going to have these drinks.
Yeah.
And then James immediately went, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think
that's
happening now.
If you made me, we're on a desert island, you've got a gun held to my head, we're in all sorts of other extreme situations, then I'd probably, for the sort of party factor, I'd have the champagne.
Okay. But we're going to let you have all three.
Great. I'm having them. It's happening.
Yeah. Your dessert.
Right. Now, this is not the right dessert for this meal, but this meal's not really sort of, I'm not doing these all together, am I? Mm-hmm. So my father used to work a lot in the Middle East, and I used to spend a lot of time with him there. And there was, that's why I was torn between the pork belly and the tagine.
Right.
Because that's where I had tagine first. There's a bread and butter pudding made with Arabic bread called Om Ali. Basically, it's bread and butter pudding, but made with the flatbread, the sort of crispy flatbread. Still got everything, you know, raisins and liqueur and everything, but that I love Om Ali.
That does sound good.
It is very good. I mean, it is literally bread and butter pudding, but made with the Egyptian, in this case, flatbread that is slightly crispy and slightly chewy.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
That is better, isn't it?
If, by the way, you're making a bread and butter pudding, you know you need to make it with stale bread.
Right,
yes.
And if you really want a treat, you make it with stale colomba. I can rather pretentiously only think of it in Italian. You know the kind of slightly dry domed cake that you get at Easter?
Yeah. Is it like panettone?
It's called a colomba. Yeah,
okay.
And you wait, leave that out till it's quite sort of dry, and then slice that up, toast it, and then make a bread and butter pudding with a toasted pine nuts and raisins soaked in marsala sherry or whatever. I mean, man, that is good.
Do you make that?
I have made it. I do as little cooking as I possibly can.
Well, that sounds like some good cooking, though.
No, that is some good cooking right there.
I used to hate bread and butter pudding.
You're going to love this.
And I've really... I'm into it now. I'm into it now, but I think it's quite a grown-up pudding.
That? Bread and butter pudding?
Yeah.
What?
Well, I don't know. It's grown up because it's got alcohol in it, but the alcohol cooks
off.
No,
I just never used to like it. And then I started making
it. Were you at boarding school?
No.
No.
You may as well have been out.
Good guess, though.
Well, you've got a sort of, you know, you've got a slightly kind of Prince Farquhar.
Big posh face.
You've got a big posh face. Yeah. A bit of a print. You'd be Prince Farquhar in the stage version of Shrek, wouldn't he?
Yes, he would, actually.
It's not an insult.
I'm just saying,
immediately flipping on your head and ganging up with you with Arabella. You would be Prince Farquhar.
And Shrek. You'd be the gingerbread man.
Yeah, so, that's true.
Oh, yeah, no, that is true.
I ate a gingerbread man yesterday. That's why he's saying it.
Yeah, you. So I had imagined. I'm afraid I had boarding wrongly school. Imagined you'd been at boarding school with all those puddings.
I'd went to a day school, but a public school. Yeah, so I've got it.
Isn't it weird the way you can tell?
You can tell, can't you?
But it's so peculiar the way you can tell. You walk down the street and you think it's like they've been sort of made out of white velvet, and they've washed themselves with sort of chamois.
Yes.
But maybe it's just literally years of.
We think the same about breeding. All you stateies.
Yeah. I went to grammar school.
Yeah. I knew you were a grandma. I knew you were a grandma the moment you walked in.
No, you never. I bet most people would think I went to private school, but I never.
I can tell.
I went to a selective school.
You can smell it on us. My dad's a teacher, and my biggest fear was ending up in a school where he was a teacher.
How funny, because my mum was a teacher at my school, and that was my greatest glory at the school, because obviously I had a very, very competitive relationship with my mother, and so I'd been at lots and lots of different schools because of my dad's job, and then they split up. So I knew that this school, the day school in Camden Town, that I was going to be the first place I could stay for the whole time. So I knew I was going to make friends that would last. And, you know, mum and dad had split up and I was unhappy and I had a terrible relationship with my mother. And so I made these friends that are still my friends to this day on the first day. And I knew that was the first time I discovered that I was really funny, because I thought, I've got two options here. I'd be really funny, which means being incredibly rude, or I swat. So I thought, well, there's no way I'm going to do that. So I was right from the off really, really rude to the teachers. I mean, I was fearless. I can remember sort of scenting blood and thinking, I'm going to ruin this woman's life. I mean, obviously it's not great now, but, you know, I wasn't a bully to kids, but I was like, right, I'd pick victims and then I'd sort of, you know, do long campaigns to make them cry and all that sort of thing. I mean, it's just bonkers. And my proudest moment around that age was when my mother, who was teaching at the school, said she thought she was going to, that this was going to be the end of me, that I was going to go, oh my God, I can't believe it. She said, your name came up in the classroom and I couldn't, in the staff room, and I couldn't hold my head up. I was so ashamed. And I went, yes, I have made it. I am the naughtiest girl in the school. Yeah. How are you feeling now, Mum? Eat it.
I am the naughtiest girl in the school.
I was absolutely thrilled. Yep. Oh. That's how I made my mark.
You would like sparkling water. You would like bread as your starter with loads of butter. No, not starter.
That's my pre-starter.
Yeah.
Your actual starter, you would like salad of endives, chicory, roquefort, walnuts, some great dressing. Main course, pork belly with celeriac mash.
Mm.
Side dish with creamed spinach and long-stem broccoli, all on the plate with toasted almonds.
Yeah.
Drink, cosmopolitan, really good champagne, and a Pinot Noir. Why not? One's at the bar, one's in between the bar and your table,
exactly.
And one's on the table.
I've got to have a drink walking from the bar to the table.
Absolutely. It's a long walk. Out loud, yeah.
And dessert, the omelie, is it?
Omelie.
The bread and butter pudding from Egypt. Also, I'm going to let you have the... after the whole meal, the little mince pie with the stilton in it.
Yeah.
It's Christmas after all, and I'm not going home to have sex, so it doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter that I'm going, oh, God!
No sex. No sex, it says here. So
it's a no-sex menu.
It's a no-sex menu.
Strictly no sex. Important.
We've never had to enforce that rule before. For you, we've had to put it on there.
You know, but I bet people who are considering sex after their meal will be wondering what they're eating.
Yeah. Do you want to tell your mum to eat it again?
She's dead. Eat it!
Yeah. Well, that's a nice note to end on.
Thank you very much for coming to the Dream
My
Restaurant,
Arabella. My pleasure.
Arabella Weir there. Fantastic menu.
Whoa, delicious menu.
Very funny
Great
chat.
Guest.
Yeah, really good.
Afterwards, she bullied Ed.
Oh, yeah, she
and you
bullied
didn't get
me.
To hear that, but yeah. She just called Ed a jock.
Yeah.
Said it. He looked like a
she
jock.
She said, "I look like a jock."
It's the happiest I've ever been. She said, "Ed looks like he's auditioning to play Channing Tatum."
Yeah, which I think would be a shock to Channing Tatum that he didn't get that part straight away.
Bad luck, Channing.
Bad luck, Channing. Ed's on your heels.
Yeah, you're the new Tatum. Everyone
now you were laughing like this is the difference between us. You were laughing like she just insulted me.
Yes,
and I very much took it as a compliment.
Yeah, but I was just delighted. I was just
you
delighted.
Seen Channing
that it was
Tatum?
Happening. Yeah, sure. Oh, the whole thing. I knew you would like it. I knew
that guy's crazy hot.
I knew it was safe to laugh.
Magic Mike much?
Magic Mike much?
Magic Mike much, James?
Yep, absolutely.
You're laughing, going, Arabella Weir saying Ed could audition to play Channing. I mean, she didn't say how far I would get in the auditioning process.
So you look like you're auditioning to play him.
Yeah,
so
I wouldn't get a
jock
callback.
Haircut.
Yeah, I got a jock haircut. But you know what? I'm happy with that. I've got to lean into the way I look.
Yeah, you look very nice. I mean, none of it was actual diss.
You look very nice as well.
Thank you, Ed.
But I liked you giggling away.
I was giggling
like the little
so much.
Bully hanging at the back of the crowd.
Yep. So, if I was brave enough at school, I would have been the little bully hanging at the back of the crowd.
You weren't brave enough to be the bully hanging
no,
at the back of the crowd.
I wasn't even brave enough to be that kid. I looked at that kid like, he's so brave.
Where were you?
No, just watching from across the room thinking, good bullying.
If you like the sound of what Arabella was talking about, you should go and see her show. She is very, very funny. The show is called Does My Mum Loom Big In This? And you can find out more about that show, dates, tickets and all of that sort of thing on arabellaweir.co.uk.
Also, thank you, Arabella, for not choosing seeded grapes, by the way.
Yes, thank you, Arabella. Also, we have an online presence at Off Menu Official on Instagram and Twitter and offmenupodcast.co.uk on the internet. Go and check it out.
Big list of all the restaurants that have ever been mentioned on the podcast on that website.
Indeedy doody.
Indeedy doody. I'm a foodie.
Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you again sometime soon. Goodbye.
Drive safe.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.